This is
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Our celebrity guest is in the building. He's someone who's quite familiar with leopard print. Though he's shown he can actually change his spots, both as an actor and as a person. He's also shown a feline-like ability when it comes to his career as well as his well-being. Please give a warm welcome to Muzi, a.k.a. Duma the Hitman, Ntabela. What's up, brother man?
Tato.
How you doing, brother man?
Ah, the big dog.
My man, it's an honor. It's a privilege. I'm a fan. Like, I don't know if I should bow or just pull myself towards myself.
Oh, yes. No. The feeling is mutual. When I told my wife yesterday that I'm coming here, she's
yes, sir.
Chelu fresh shooting to hi. Niti angzwanga.
Excuse me. I'm told your kids also watch the podcast.
Oh yes, they do. Whenever I get home, they are watching YouTube and they are on the podcast and they are just laughing all the way.
So, what are your kids' names?
Usbusi Siwe and Usbongile.
Okay, Bubu.
Ububu and Bobo. Yes.
Okay, and how old are Bubu and Bobo?
Hey, this will get me in trouble. I've been married for 17 years, so my first born is 16 and the other is 12.
So why is it getting you in trouble?
No, because I always forget. So I always think, how long have I been married? And then it's this one. Okay, it's 17 minus one, and then the other one minus four. So then
3 days ago, my daughter was turning 15.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure if she's turning 15 or 16.
I wouldn't be surprised if she's as tall as you.
She will be. Because my son, Tato, who's 20, was taller than me when he was 16.
Yeah, so I don't know.
And then my 8-year-old is wearing 12 to 13 now. He's 8.
Yeah.
He's wearing 12 to 13. So it's a problem.
Yeah.
So this morning I'm getting ready and I'm having a conversation with my 4 white hairs. I was like, Muzi started graying when he was 34.
Yeah.
Tell us about your relationship with when, obviously, your body says it's time.
Yeah.
You know, if it's graying is what it is.
Yeah.
How did you feel about it when it started happening?
I had this friend growing up, Jonathan Loader.
Yeah.
He's colored.
Okay.
So obviously his hair grew faster than mine. So I had, unfortunately, my beard was like that at 19.
Yeah. So this is you at 19?
Yeah, this is me at 19.
This is all I get. And I'm 50.
So he would always laugh at me about how fascinated I was with his beard.
Oh, yeah.
I really want my beard to grow.
Yeah.
And then it started growing. He would say, shave it. I'm like, nah. I must keep the little that I have.
Little I have, yes.
So at 34, then I started seeing my hair going gray.
Yeah.
And I got very excited. So I always say my hair got gray after I got married. And that makes my wife angry. I'm not saying it was her. I'm just saying after I got married, my hair got gray. But I was very excited.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you were ready?
Yeah. I think a part of me has always wanted to be this big uncle who's always giving advice.
The wise Malume.
Yeah, the wise Malume. So I've always wanted to be that.
Yeah.
Growing up, I knew I wanted to get married, have kids, have my home, and be this guy that can talk to young kids. So when I started seeing the signs of wisdom, I was like, yeah, because the Bible says gray hair is a sign of wisdom.
Yo, and they grew the beards in the Bible.
Yeah, it was like a crown because they didn't even want to cut their own.
Oh, yes.
So it was like a big thing to have a beard.
In fact, a friend of mine, he's Muslim, and he was telling me about he's never cut his beard. And his beard is just, it's gone.
Yeah.
But he's like, that's who I am.
And
for us in our religion, it's that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, listening to your story about, you know, your friend who had hair and you didn't have hair.
Yeah.
You know, I've always had that love-hate relationship with puberty.
Yeah.
Because when all my friends were getting hair on their armpits, I didn't have hair.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but also we had a kid when we were 10, already he was growing hair.
Yeah.
So whenever we went swimming and we had to change or going for PE, all of us would turn because he had pubes already.
Yeah. No, it's very interesting, but I think for me, it was a matter of always accepting whatever comes my way, and then I would have to make a plan. So this is happening. Mm-hmm. What needs to be done now?
Sure.
Then I just do what needs to be done.
So the Catholic Church lost you to the arts.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I grew up wanting to be a priest.
Yes, sir.
And at matric, I had to make a decision. Ukuthi, am I really going to be a priest? Mm. No wife, no kids, no woman, no cry. And I didn't stop because of the girls.
Yes, yes.
But I asked myself critical questions. Is this really what I want or is it what God wants?
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, growing up in Makaya, we grew up in Makaya, and the priest who only came to our place was a very tall white man. Mm. Was tall and he had this presence.
Yeah.
And you know when Catholics are wearing their cassock and they are doing the... You know,
there's something majestic about it.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So I would look at this one white man who came to our area with, you know, with this presence and, you know, everybody's looking at him and everybody's admiring him. Mm. So I wasn't sure if it was just the young man in me admiring that or it was God saying, I want you to be that.
Yes, sir.
So I made a covenant and said, okay, I'm going to go my way.
Sure.
But whenever you call me, if it is a calling from you, then my answer will be yes.
So obviously then you're in high school.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a Catholic priest one day. But you're also a young man going through puberty.
Yeah.
And there's also peer pressure.
Yes.
How did you reconcile that dream and the fact that you're also dealing with all the things teenagers are dealing with at the same time?
I was a church boy.
Yeah.
I loved God from a very young age. we were a group of boys in Claremont.
Sure.
We called ourselves the Hammer Boys.
Yes, sir.
After MC Hammer.
Yes,
so
sir.
We were all about dancing, break dance, and you know. And my friends were very eloquent. Mm. They were ladies' men.
Sure.
You know, so they'd always laugh at me, say, hey, mfundisa wena ntombi. But a part of me always looked up to them.
Yes.
How easy it was for them to get the girls. Mm. My cousin, for example, Uluwi and Ulungelo.
Sure.
They were quite
Casanovas.
You know, they were smooth. They could get the girls. So even though a part of me always longed for a girlfriend, but a part of me was always like, nope, I'm going to be a priest.
Yes,
I don't need girls. I must enter the seminary a virgin.
Yo.
Yeah. So, but I think for me, what sustained me was a love for God.
So how did you feel when Abu Louis came to you and said, they finally broken the virginities?
No, I was jealous, of course. Yeah, but, you know, it was always that balance of what I felt was my destiny and the hormones were telling me at the time.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So for me, majority of the time, not all the time, God won.
But God lost, though, because then you found alcohol and drugs. When does that happen?
That happened when we were the Hammer Boys.
Yes.
We would buy, at the time it was a Macrown.
Sure.
And a Crossbow Cider.
Oh, yes.
And a Esprit. So we would, you know, put money together, buy alcohol. So whenever there was, that was back in the days when it was the era of, mhlambe it would be Miss Claremont, Miss this, Miss that. Mm-hmm. So whenever there were those beauty contests,
sure.
So we'd always make a plan. Hey, my face is slanganiseni. So then I started drinking. And then I started thinking, maybe I should go this way instead of that way.
Yeah,
you know? But I wouldn't say God lost. Mm. There's always a plan.
There's a reason.
Plan.
There's a reason.
There is. You can't speak with people if you are perfect.
Mm.
So you must make mistakes like them and then be able to speak with young people. For example, when I go to schools, I tell young people about the disadvantages of alcohol.
You tell them the journey. You don't.
And I tell them alcohol is nice.
Yeah, don't do like I did.
Yes.
Yes.
So
yes.
I don't stand from a self-righteous standpoint and say, don't do that because I didn't do it. No, don't do it because I did it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it was part of the plan.
It was part of the plan. It was part of the plan because it proved to me that I'm imperfect. But if I didn't make those mistakes, I would think, I'm self-righteous, I'm perfect, be like me.
Mm.
But now I can say, don't be like me. Instead, do this because these are the disadvantages.
So surely you not being a Catholic priest, as was the plan, doesn't mean the ministering stopped, though. Because you've been ministering. Even your talent is ministering. It's giving people hope. You know, the talks that you do, encouraging kids to read. That is all part of ministering.
Yeah. That's why I said earlier on, God didn't lose.
Yes.
If I went there, God would have lost. Because I don't think I would have been able to reach as many people as I can now.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, if you're a priest and you're saying,
sure.
It's like, we expect that.
Sure.
But if an ordinary person who is in the entertainment space, is saying, don't do one, don't do two, don't do three. I'm able to reach the people that the pastor cannot reach.
Absolutely.
Because people don't listen to pastors. The moment you start saying, Jesus, they're
like,
ah. Oh, not now. So more later. But if I come now and say, oh, okay, I'm in the entertainment space, but this is how I live. And these are the benefits.
In fact, you have the attention before you even open your mouth.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is an advantage.
Because there are... usually people, when I go to schools, people are like, so how does it feel when the kids are screaming for you?
Yeah.
I'm like, for me, the most beautiful moment is when after they scream, they keep quiet and they listen.
Yeah.
Because there's a moment when I speak, you can hear a pin dropping.
Oh, yeah.
And then I know I've got them.
I've got them.
They are listening.
Yes, yes.
Because now at first they are excited. Oh, Nkosi Yamacele. Oh,
yes.
TV guy.
Yeah.
And then after they see the TV guy, what message comes out? That is why I always say to young people, before you grow up, while you're still young, read books.
Sure.
You know, let me take this back. Books changed my life.
Sure.
Because I started reading the self-help and motivational books, and it expands your thinking in a way that nothing else can help you in that manner.
Sure.
Because I was able to deal with problems. I was able to handle, I expected trouble. In fact, you said something once. I think you were being interviewed by Upel Tusi. You said something that stuck with me, and I was like, this guy was smart from day one. You said when you came to South Africa, a guy offered you Mumbai papers.
Oh yes, for 500 rand I was offered an ID, a birth certificate, and a passport for 500.
And I remember what you said. You said, my man, I plan to be so big that my papers have to be kosher.
Sure.
I was like, wow. So at that age, you knew that you can't go shortcut, because that will short circuit your success at some point.
Absolutely, absolutely.
For me, that level of wisdom, it comes with reading and understanding people and understanding the laws of the universe.
You know, it's funny.
Yeah.
The reason I've never started drugs or have a drug problem is because I read so much in high school.
Yeah.
At some stage, I read every drug book in our library. Yeah. So I can tell you what every drug will make you feel.
Yeah.
I can tell you what every drug will do to your system.
Yeah.
Because I read all of it in high school.
Yeah.
But I also learned at that very moment in high school that I don't want to be any of these people here.
Yes, yes.
So I've never done drugs.
Yeah.
So reading is a powerful...
It opened my mind in an amazing way. The first book I ever read was How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Oh, yes.
No. That was my second book. The first book was my father's book, Think Like a Winner.
Oh, yes.
And then my girlfriend at the time had this book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Sure.
So she could see that I loved books, and she's like, no, my father's got the book like this. So she gave me her father's books.
Yeah.
I started reading
these
books. But
she clearly didn't read the book, because she didn't influence you to stay.
You know what happened?
Yeah.
The interesting thing, we did Uncle L's book the one time, Woman Wake Up or something like that.
Sure.
Ulinda.
Yeah.
So I gave it I gave it to one of one friend of mine.
Yeah.
He was still going after some woman.
Sure.
So the lady saw the book in his car and she was like, I need to read this book. So when she read this book, he says, I could tell that she no longer wants to speak with me.
Yes.
And then he's like, what's going on? She said, No. The book you gave me says men like you. I was able to tell what kind of a man from that book. So we can't be together anymore. So sometimes you give people ammunition to cut you off from their lives.
You self-sabotage.
Yeah. So the books that I've read, I think they've opened up my mind in a way that I think I can handle a lot of things.
Sure.
Being in this space, I don't have a fear of what people would say about me on social media, because whatever you throw at me, I know how to respond, because I've studied the power of the mind.
You know how to deal with it.
I know how to deal with it.
And I think the power is also in knowing when not to respond.
Exactly.
Because often we think the power lies in our voices.
Yes.
But it's in knowing when not to use that very power.
Yes.
That you are powerful.
Exactly. Exactly. So that is why I always encourage young people, read.
But you went a step further. 2018, you started a book club.
Yes.
What was the end goal there?
My book club has three objectives.
Sure.
Help young people to become voracious readers.
Sure.
Help young people start their own personal libraries. And to help young people dream beyond their current reality.
Sure.
So we meet once every 2 months. So in a year, my club gives them 6 books.
Nice.
I don't charge for anything. We just organize meetings, and I encourage them to read.
Sure.
And I think the program has created monsters, because at the end of the year, I usually ask them, how many books did you read this year?
Yes,
and they're
yes.
like, no, but Muzi, this year I read 10 books. Yeah. You know, I read 12 books. And in our meetings, I always ask them, okay, what have you been reading? So everybody gets a chance to share with us for like 5 minutes what they've been reading and what they've learned from what they've read. Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful hearing you saying all that you're saying.
Yeah.
You remember I told you my daughter was turning 15?
Yeah.
You know what she wanted for her birthday? Vouchers to buy books.
Wow.
I was like, you're 15. When I was 15, I wasn't asking for books. I was like, whose child are you?
Yes.
I almost demanded a DNA test. This can't be my daughter.
And the questions they ask us, these kids.
And she loves reading.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping other young people can understand that the more you read, the more powerful a person you become.
Yes, yes.
But we think books are for nerds. Books are boring.
Unfortunately, you know, the first book I ever bought when I had engaged in the habit of reading,
yes, sir.
The Power of the Subconscious Mind by Dr. Joseph Murphy.
Yes, sir.
It amazed me, Uguti, there is literature out there that can teach me about the power of my own mind.
Absolutely.
And then you begin to see the things that we accept as reality, and you think, oh, okay, that's what it is.
Mm.
As a result, there are conversations I can't have with anybody else but a reader.
Mm.
Because I know the moment you say 1, 2, 3, it's like, ah, vele pela. You know, for example, when you've gotten exposed to television, the programs that we get exposed to, there are people out there who are not readers who think this happened because we were lucky.
Mm.
But there's a process to everything.
Absolutely.
And the books give you that.
Mm.
There's a story of a man who visited a certain professor. They had an appointment. The professor says, wait for me at my library.
Yes, sir.
At his house, in his study.
Mm.
So this guy waits. An hour later, the professor comes back. The guy's fuming.
Mm.
The professor's like, are you okay? Like, no. I'm so mad. We had an appointment. And
I've been waiting.
An hour later.
Yeah.
And this guy's saying, how can you be bored when you're surrounded by Yeats? How can you be bored when you're surrounded by Shakespeare? He mentions all these guys. He says, I need to finish up something. I'll be back. And then he comes back after another hour.
Yeah.
But now the guy was already perusing through the books and he was already reading.
Sure.
All I'm saying is there's information out there that can help you out of your situation instead of expecting our very incapable politicians to come up with
solutions. And sadly, a lot of that information is hidden in a book.
Not even hidden. You know, there is so much deception going on in the world, and there is so much information. This guy is saying, what I have spent 20 years learning, I am giving to you in a book. And
imagine,
a book is about 250 rands.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you are learning something that took somebody a lifetime to study. You know, for me, one of the most important things is the study of the mind. Anything else comes after that.
Absolutely. So you are a qualified editor.
Yes.
And you're a damn good editor, we are told.
Thank you.
And then you stumble into being in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Take us through the day when you were first in front of the camera with Rele Bogile.
I was editing Zone 14.
Yes.
The year was 2008.
Yeah.
It was all coincidental. I didn't grow up wanting to be an actor one day. No, it was never even in my bucket list.
Sure.
So what happens is production would shoot for like maybe 6 months. And the editors would edit for the next 6 months. So after the shooting process wrapped up, there was a scene that they realized that they didn't shoot. It was just this guy walking down the road with Bazooka's girlfriend.
Oh, yes.
So Enga says, no, man, we can just get two camera guys and we can get
We'll cheat it. We'll just get Upopai no Spinach, no Bazooka
and get two camera guys and a sound guy. We don't need the whole crew. And Angus Gibson just says, no, Muzi can do the scene.
Yeah.
Because it was all about me just walking down the road.
That's
and
all.
These guys talking about me.
Yeah.
But now the beautiful thing was that was towards the end of season two. When season three came, they needed to wrap up the story arc. So I needed to come back for at least another 12 episodes.
Oh, wow.
And that's where my career was launched.
Just like that.
When my first episode came out, Desri calls me and says, yo, you've got such a strong presence on screen. You should take this seriously if you are interested.
My man, you've got presence walking into a room. I'm told when you walk down the street, even the dogs stop barking. Who's this guy here?
Maete.
Maete dogs.
Yeah. So that's how everything was launched for me, because it was also around the time of Amalokshin Bioscope. So when the Lokshin Bioscopes started coming up, there's a friend of mine, Utabo Mpilo.
Sure.
He was doing a film and he says, bruh, I've got this character. He's a lead. I've got this character. He comes from KZN, but he's in Gauteng. He is a high-ranking gangster. I want you to play that guy with your strong Zulu, but he must be a bad guy, but speaking strong Zulu. So he says, no, I want you for this character. So I didn't even go for casting for my first role, for my first leading role. So I do this role, and people are like, no, man, you're excellent. So they started casting me for other Lokshin Bioscope.
Oh, wow.
And when the season started for Ama Telenovelas, Bomb calls me back and says, we've got a character for you. At that time, Utuma was never even meant to have a dialogue. I was just standing behind and saying nothing. And Desri says, no, man, we need to start writing something for you. Would you like to have dialogue? I was like, of course. And then I started having dialogue. And 7 years later, I was the rich and king of Epubesin.
Can you imagine? Yo.
Yeah.
But surely because you are a qualified editor, you also act with editing in mind.
Yes.
Or are you able to shut that down when you are doing your acting?
Life is very interesting. Yeah. Everything that you go through, it prepares you for the future.
For the next move.
Everything that you have learned before has prepared you for this moment.
Yes.
And everything you are learning in this moment is preparing you for the next moment. So everything I learned in the edit suite, I often say I studied or I learned acting in the edit suite.
Exactly.
Because I know what works.
Exactly.
I know what doesn't work. But also I am very observant in terms of performances and characterization. I know what works for me. And I think one of the very important and critical things as an artist is always look at your work and see what works. You see, right now I'm speaking so fast because that's how I speak.
Sure.
But when I get into character, if it's a powerful character, I need to slow down.
Yes.
I need to slow down.
You need to understand the character and be the character.
Because I always say you can't play power. When you play power, you slow down. You lower your voice. This is how
power is measured.
Think about our president, Ramaphosa, running for the aeroplane because he am she. Big people, time waits for them. Everything else waits for them.
Sure.
They strut into a space because everything is waiting for them. So I had to observe myself and I'm like, I don't like the way I speak. So what do I need to do? Okay, slow down. And it felt like I am slowing so badly down. But when I watched it back, it
makes
sense. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now you talk about how the Jub Jub tragedy in 2010 was a turning point for you. Tell us about that for those that don't know that story.
So we started with Ama Crown.
So we're going back to high school now.
We started with Ama Crown, there was no Savannah at the time. Hunter's Gold.
Sure.
We started there and then we graduated to Ukoloko.
Sure.
We drink Vio Martel brandy. So whenever there's a new brandy coming up, we drink that. And then I remember there was it Flying Fish? What was it? Something else. But now we graduated to Ama Bohle Laka Koloko.
Sure.
And we started drinking more and more. So when I started working, almost every weekend I was drinking. And then there was a time when I was so disappointed by the church that I left the Christianity. That's when I was living in a room.
Why were you disappointed?
I was a youth leader in KZN. I came to Johannesburg. I was a leader of the young adults in Proti North. When you get involved at a leadership level with church, you begin to see politics. Begin to be involved in the church politics. There's a group that...
And you start realizing that a lot of this is actually has nothing to do with God.
It was so hurtful for me because I'd always loved church. I'd always loved God. But when you go to church and you go home, you don't see certain things. I was caught between, in both churches in KZN and here, I was caught between a group that loved the pastor, the priest, and the group that hated the priest. And the young people didn't know where to fit, and everybody tried to use us for their own demonic agendas. So I was so disillusioned, and eventually I was like, no, God is not in the church.
I'm here for church, not politics.
Yeah, no. So I started looking for God in other things. I read a lot of New Age books, like Conversations with God, a book I would never read again, but I don't regret reading it. I flirted with Ubu Rasta. I flirted with many other religions, and I was like, nah, this is not it. So let me just do me.
Sure.
So I started drinking. Fortunately, I've always feared my drugs, so I never did drugs. So I was smoking weed, drinking uchwala. Fornicating. I was just doing me, and I thought that's what was going to make me happy.
Yes.
And it didn't. One of my ubaba mncane uboy called my father in KZN and says, "Hey baba, putilo mjidengathi usephuza kakhulu manje la ikhulu." You know, and my father calls me and says, "Ndoda, I hear that you are drinking too much now in Johannesburg." I'm like, "Nah, I make excuses, but I carry on."
Sure.
And I got born again in 2006, but I still carried on drinking.
Yeah.
And I still carried on. No, klaba. I would still do my things, and I'd be like, "No, ngicela bazalwane, umzulu mina ngenzinto yakithi." And then there was a time I would drink with amajite lokshini, and then I would go home. Sometimes I'd wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, "Where am I? How did I get here?" So I blacked out while I was driving on the road. That scared me. And when Jup Jup did that accident, something in me just said, if you don't stop, that's exactly where
you're next.
You are next. You know, when there's that conviction, you know it's not my mind reasoning. I always believe it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. If you don't stop, that's exactly where you're going.
Do you think your wife was also sent into your path as part of, we need to save this man?
I believe so. Because before I stopped drinking, I stopped smoking weed.
Yeah.
And when I met my wife, when she was still my girlfriend, I just knew that this girl is not going to tolerate indaba yomto odaba insang.
Yes.
So I decided, okay, let me stop smoking weed.
She's worth the weed.
Yeah, she's worth me quitting weed. Yeah. So I stopped weed for her, and I still drank. But at some point, when I was married and I had a kid, I thought to myself, if I get arrested now, what's going to happen to my kids?
Exactly.
And I realized that my choices were very selfish. So I made a decision to quit alcohol. But when that accident kajub-jub happened, something in me just said, you are next. And I decided, my family comes first.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I know we're about to run out of time, and you also need to run on set.
Sure.
We're going to play a quick game called When Last. When last did you have a drink?
When last did I have a drink? It was 2015 or 16.
You haven't had alcohol since 2016?
No, I haven't.
Okay, maybe cough mixture, but otherwise...
Yeah. Otherwise, no.
Do you ever sip cough mixture and you're like, maybe let me take another one?
Yeah.
Take another
one? And then I make an excuse to die. God, it's just medicine.
It's like, baby, we are out of cough mixture. Drink some more.
Yeah, it was around 2015, 16.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
When last did you pray? What did you pray about?
It was, oh my God, I didn't pray this morning. I was like, no, I'll pray later.
Yeah.
But yesterday, and I prayed for myself, and I prayed for my family. And my prayer right now, I think the major thing for me, I prayed coming here that I would speak things that make sense.
Sure.
But I generally pray about knowing what it is that I'm called for in life. Yeah.
When last did you have to dial it back reprimanding your daughters? Because sometimes we forget that they're also people.
Yeah.
No, they're not just our children, they're people.
Yeah. Hey, mina ngiyatheta mina.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think umamwabo is more a disciplinarian than I am. Sure. I think I've got a soft spot. And
so they've got you wrapped around the fingers.
Yeah, no, yeah. Shame. They do. But they know when I shout. It's like, yo, this guy.
When last did you edit anything? Are you done with your editing career?
I am still editing.
Yeah.
I was one of the editors at Qebega.
Oh, wow.
But I'm currently editing a church film that is going to play next week, Friday, church. Yeah.
But how strict have you become as an editor now that you're also in front of the camera? Has the one affected the other in any way?
It does.
Yeah.
Because I know now that actually I'm more lenient to editors.
Oh, yes.
Than I was before. Mm. And I'm more lenient to directors and the people that film, because it's very different to be on set and to work with footage.
Sure.
It's two different things.
Mm.
Yeah, so I think I'm more lenient.
When last did you stop yourself from thinking, maybe I should dye my hair?
Hey, no, I've never dyed my hair.
You've never thought of it?
No, it never even crossed my mind. I had the SKL once. Hey, young Shisa, you can't. I was like, never again. You know, when you have patches or a kind of cause, Shisa, you move to SKL.
Yes, sir.
That happened to me the first time I ever did the SKL, and I was like, never again.
Mm. When last did you feel afraid for your life?
When last, I love speed, so I think I was speeding and, I was speeding.
Speeding means 120. He means 120.
Yeah, speeding is 120. 120 and not beyond that. I think last year when I was speeding and I was like, what are you doing?
Mm.
Yeah.
When last did you hold yourself back from posting about the politics of the country? Because I think we're all there right now.
Yeah, no, that was years ago. I decided to stay away from politics and I decided to stay away from commenting on Twitter because, wow.
Yeah.
Twitter, no, it's another beast. I'd rather comment on Instagram. I'm more active on Instagram than any other platform.
And then how much of a political beast are you?
I hate politics.
Mm.
I don't trust any one of them. I don't trust the ruling party. I don't trust the potential opposition. I don't trust the current opposition. I don't trust anybody.
Mm.
They are in it for themselves, and they are very eloquent. They have a way of making us think it's all about us when it's all about them.
They're like some church leaders.
Exactly, exactly. A majority of them have compromised.
Yeah,
a majority of them have compromised. Just read that book by George Orwell, Animal Farm.
Animal Farm, yes.
It's copy and paste of everything.
Some are more equal than others.
Some animals are more equal than others.
And others are more pigs than others.
And I think he parliament elgcwele ama, let me not say.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, when last did you just thank God for this journey you've been on? Because you've been on an incredible ride.
Yeah. No, this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always thank God. And I think I'm trying to get into the habit of thanking God for everything.
Oh, yes.
I thank God for this platform. I mean, who would have thought back in those days when I used to listen to your voice on radio, who would have thought I'd be invited to your podcast?
Yes, sir.
Who would have thought I would have a house? Who would have thought I'd have a wife that loves me and kids that adore me? Who would have thought, you know? So when you look back, you're like, wow. Sometimes when you achieve your goals, you think it's all you.
Yes.
But when you look back, you realize, nah, it was never me. It couldn't have been me. So I'm very grateful for my journey. And though I may regret some of the decisions I've made before, but I don't regret much. I regret the hearts I broke growing up. Other than that, no, I don't regret anything else.
No names mentioned.
If
you know, you know.
Yeah, but if there's one thing I regret, it's the hearts I broke.
Sure.
Yeah, other than that, no, I don't regret much.
And we are out of time. We're being shouted. Because apparently you need to get to work also.
Yes.
So, my dude, what else are you working on that we can look forward to on our screens?
I am working on an app.
Yes, sir.
It's a casting agency, a digital casting agency. I'm working on that, and I am just working on being a voice, particularly for young people, that says Uputmuzi uthi it's gonna be fine.
Absolutely.
Uputmuzi says it's gonna be okay. So I'm working on reaching as many young people as I possibly can.
Yes, sir.
And it's a season in my life of speaking. I get speaking engagements in places that I never would have thought.
Yes, sir.
So, those are the things I'm working on currently.
My guy, you generally have everyone's attention already. So it doesn't matter what you decide to do. You could sell sand, and chances are we'd buy that sand. So please continue using your talents.
Thank you.
To touch lives, to change lives, to inspire kids, and to even inspire adults. That it can happen. It can happen to you next.
Yeah.
If you dream big enough, but you have to stay the course.
Yeah.
And you have to be responsible as you do it. So
yeah.
Thank you for being the man that you are, brother.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you, and we love the work that you do.
Thank you very much. Kebok.
Ladies and gentlemen, Muzi is about to leave the building.